They never drove the truck, except once or twice a year to get firewood. It was parked just up the hill in front of the woodshed, where it collected rain in the deep dents on the hood and mosquito larvae in the rainwater. That was the way it was when Wade was married to Jenny, and that's the way it is now that he is married to Anne. Anne goes up there sometimes to sit in the truck. She waits until Wade is busy so that he won't notice that she's gone. Today, she comes here under the pretense of getting firewood, dragging a blue sled over the mud and grass and patches of snow. The woodshed isn't far from the house, but it's hidden from view by a stand of ponderosa pines. She feels like she is trespassing, like none of this is hers to see. The truck is parked on a rare space of flat land, an unlikely shelf carved into the mountainside. In front of the woodshed, around the truck, a few loose bricks lie here and there in the grass and snow. Spindles of mangled wire lean against the trees. Hanging from a long larch limb are two thick ropes that sway opposite each other now, but look as if they might have once been connected by a flat board, a child's swing. It is March, sunny and cold. Anne gets into the driver's seat and shuts the door quietly. She pulls the seatbelt across her body, then rolls the window down so that several droplets splatter on her lap. She touches the wet spots with her fingertip, connecting them with lines in her mind to make a picture on her thigh. The picture reminds her of a mouse, or at least a child's drawing of a mouse, with a triangle face and a long, curlicued tail. 9 years ago, when Wade was still married to Jenny and both of his daughters were still alive, a mouse had crawled along the top of the truck's exhaust pipe into the engine compartment and built its nest on the manifold. She thinks of how strange it is that Wade probably remembers that mouse, remembers the sound of it skittering under the hood, and yet he's forgotten his first wife's name. Or so it seems sometimes. But the mouse is still very much alive in his memory. A few years after Anne and Wade married, Anne found a pair of deerskin gloves in a toolbox, high on a shelf in a closet. They were much nicer than the work gloves Wade usually wore, and seemed to be brand new, except for the odor of something burned. That was how she learned about the mouse in the first place. She asked why he kept the gloves stored in their closet instead of using them. Wade told her that he wanted to preserve the smell. "What smell is that?" The smell of a rodent's nest that caught on fire. The last smell in his daughter's hair. It was a long time ago now that he said things like that. He stopped talking about the details of his daughter's death once he saw how much Anne held onto them. He probably thinks she's forgotten about the gloves. It's been so many years. But she hasn't. He keeps them in the filing cabinet with his papers in his office upstairs. She has opened the drawer just enough to see them. That mouse had probably been in the truck the whole winter, during that last year that Wade was married to Jenny, that last year that May was alive and June was safe. Anne thinks of the mouse going back and forth in the snow between the truck and the barn, hauling mouthfuls of hay or insulation or tufts of stuffing from the dog's beds, making its nest bigger and having babies in it once spring arrived. Some of the babies probably died early on and were absorbed by the nest, their tiny bones like shards of straw themselves. And other mice came, too. You could hear them moving under the hood if you put your ear against it. The little girls liked doing that. Well, at least Anne imagines they did. One day in August, the whole family got into the truck. Wade at the steering wheel, where Anne is sitting now, Jenny next to him, their daughters, June and May, 9 and 6, crammed in back with a jug of lemonade and styrofoam cups, which they carved pictures into with their fingernails. The girls probably wanted to ride in the truck bed, but their mother would have said it was not safe on the highway. So they sat, facing each other in the cab with their backs against the windows, bumping their knees, probably fighting. They forgot all about the mice. They didn't notice anything at first, driving slowly over the dirt roads. But once they reached the highway in their town of Ponderosa, a smell like decay and burning hair, skin and seeds sizzling on a hot engine, entered through the vent, and filled the whole cab of the truck until the little girls were gagging and laughing and pushing their freckled noses out their windows. They had to drive on with their windows down, tolerating the smell, for the hour drive through the Nez Valley, past Athol and Kerrywood, then up the long road nearly to the top of Lowell, the mountain where the birchwood was already cut and piled, ready to be loaded. Their hair and clothes and Wade's gloves held the burned smell in their fibers. Anne pictures June and May. They wait in the sun while their mother rolls the birch logs onto the truck bed and their father stacks them there. The girls lean against the tires, slapping horseflies on their legs, pouring lemonade into the dust. The smell would have been there on the way back, too. It is the one constant. It connects two things in Anne's mind that she can't manage to connect otherwise. The drive up the mountain and the drive back down. The drive back down is the part Anne comes here to try to understand.